This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to combine anchoring with concession planning. Set your opening number with purpose, then plan every move that follows. In short, anchoring sets the opening position in a negotiation, and concession planning decides every move you make after it. Neither works well without the other. A strong anchor without a concession plan leaves you rigid. A concession plan without an anchor leaves you reactive. Set an ambitious, defensible opening position before you enter the room. Plan your concessions in advance so each one is smaller than the last. Know your walkaway number so no concession ever crosses it by accident. Definition: anchoring in negotiation is the practice of placing the first significant number or position on the table, which then shapes what both sides perceive as a reasonable outcome. Whichever side anchors first tends to pull the final result toward their opening figure. You walked into the room prepared. You had a number in your head. You knew it was fair, and you intended to hold it. Then the other side opened low, and before you had time to think, you were defending your position from their starting point instead of your own. You made concessions you did not plan. You left money on the table, or you accepted terms you did not want. And on the drive back, you replayed every moment wondering where it went wrong. What went wrong was this: you had a position, but you did not have a process. Anchoring in negotiation is not simply about who speaks first. It is about placing your opening number deliberately high enough to give you room, backed by a rationale strong enough to make it stick. But an anchor alone is only half the work. Without a planned concession sequence, you will either hold too long and damage the relationship, or concede too fast and undermine everything your anchor built. This article gives you a complete, step-by-step process for setting your anchor and planning every move that follows. You will be able to use it before your next negotiation, regardless of whether that is a salary conversation, a supplier contract, or a project scope discussion. The real reason anchoring trips people up. Most people understand the idea of anchoring. What they do not understand is why their anchors fail to hold. The problem is really the opening number itself. It is the absence of a plan for what comes next. When you set an anchor and then improvise your concessions under pressure, two things happen. First, the other side reads your irregular movement as weakness and pushes harder. Second, you lose track of your own limits and concede past your walkaway point without realizing it. There is a second trap that catches even experienced negotiators. They anchor too low because they fear being seen as unreasonable. The anchor feels safer when it is modest, but a modest anchor pulls the entire conversation toward a modest outcome. You can't recover ground you never claimed. Here is the truth of it: anchoring only works when your first number is ambitious enough to matter, and your concession sequence is planned tightly enough to control the pace of movement. One without the other will let you down. What you need before you begin. Before you set a single number, you need three things in place. Without them, the steps that follow will not hold. Your target price. This is the outcome you genuinely want, not the number you will settle for. The number you are aiming for, it must be specific. A walkaway point. The absolute minimum you will accept, or the maximum you will pay. Cross this line and the deal is no longer worth making. Write it down before you enter the room. Decide it in advance, when you are calm, not in the heat of the conversation. This is sometimes called your reservation price. Your rationale. A strong anchor needs a reason behind it. Market rate. Precedent, scope, comparable deals, the value you are delivering, one or two concrete justifications that make your opening position feel grounded rather than arbitrary. Without this, your anchor invites challenge, and you will struggle to defend it. If you cannot name all three of these clearly before the conversation starts, you are not ready to negotiate. Preparation is not optional here. It is the foundation everything else stands on. The step-by-step process for combining anchoring with concession planning. This process runs in sequence. Do not skip steps or rearrange them. Each one builds on what came before. Number 1. Set your opening position above your target. Your anchor should sit meaningfully above the outcome you actually want. How far above depends on the context in a commercial contract. 15 to 25% above target is common. In a salary discussion, 10 to 20% above your target gives you room to move without falling below what you need. The anchor must be ambitious enough to matter, but not so extreme that it breaks credibility. If your target is £60,000, Do not anchor at £100,000. Anchor at £70,000 to £75,000. Number 2. Write your rationale before you speak. Prepare one or two specific reasons why your opening position is fair. Speak them aloud as you set the anchor. For example, based on the current market rate for this scope of work and the 3-year timeline involved, I'm opening at £75,000. This shifts the conversation from your number feeling like a negotiating tactic to it feeling like a considered position. The other side can argue with a number. It is harder to argue with a well-reasoned one. Number 3. Map out your concession sequence in advance. Before you enter the room, decide exactly where you will move and in what increments. Write down at least 3 concessions. Each one should be smaller than the one before it. This pattern sends a clear signal that you're approaching your limit. A sequence of £5,000, then £3,000, then £1,500 communicates far more powerfully than 3 equal movements of £3,000 each. Equal movements suggest you have room to keep going. Number 4. Attach a condition to every concession. A concession you give freely signals that you had room to move all along. A concession tied to something the other side gives you signals that movement costs you something. The formula is simple. If you can X, I can move to Y. For example, if you can commit to the 12-month term, I can bring the figure down to £71,000. This keeps the negotiation reciprocal rather than one-directional. It is also how you maintain respect throughout the process. If you want to understand how to keep this kind of exchange from turning hostile, the guidance on how to de-escalate arguments during meetings applies directly. Number 5. Pause after each concession and wait. The most costly mistake in the concession sequence is not allowing silence to do its work. After you move, stop talking. Let the other side respond. Many negotiators fill the silence by offering a second concession before the first has even been processed. If you make 2 moves without receiving one in return, you have undermined the reciprocal dynamic the whole process depends on. Sit with the discomfort. It is working in your favor. Number 6. Track the distance between your anchor and your current position. As the conversation moves, keep a mental note of how far you have traveled from your opening number and how close you are to your walkaway point. This is where written preparation earns its keep. If you planned a sequence of £5,000, £3,000, and £1,500 from an anchor of £75,000, you know your floor is around £65,500. You are not doing maths under pressure. You are following a map. Number 7. Know when to hold and how to say it. There will come a point where the next concession would cross your walkaway line. You need a clear, calm phrase for this moment that does not sound like a bluff. Something like, I want to find a way to make this work, and I have moved as far as I can on the fee. What I can offer instead is an alternative term or non-monetary value. This redirects the conversation without abandoning it. Knowing when to use this phrase and trusting it is where the process pays off fully. How this process changes in high-stakes salary discussions. Salary negotiations carry a particular pressure that commercial negotiations do not. The number you anchor on is personal. It represents your sense of your own worth, and many people soften their anchor because stating a large number feels exposed rather than strategic. The process does not change. What changes is how you ground your rationale. In a salary discussion, your rationale should draw on 3 things: what the market pays for this role in this industry, what you have specifically delivered in your current or previous position, and what you bring that is difficult to replace. Prepare these before the conversation, the same way you would prepare market comparables for a supplier negotiation. One adjustment is worth making in this context. If you are negotiating remotely, the absence of physical presence can make an anchor feel less confident than it sounds in person. The guidance on maintaining connection in remote work environments addresses this directly. In a video call, slow your pace. Keep your camera on and state your rationale before your number rather than after. In a remote setting, the sequence of your words carries the weight that body language carries in person. Feedback in a remote negotiation also reads differently. Learning how to give and receive effective feedback in a remote workplace can sharpen your ability to read the other side's response when you cannot see them fully. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where people go wrong with the concession sequence. I've watched more people lose ground in the concession phase than in the anchor phase. The anchor gets the attention, but the concessions are where the real damage happens, the mistake. Making equal concessions throughout the negotiation. Why it happens. Equal movements feel fair and easy to justify in the moment. What to do instead? Decrease each concession deliberately. The pattern of diminishing movement is the signal that tells the other side you're running out of room. If your concessions stay equal, they will keep asking. The mistake. Conceding on multiple points at once. Why it happens. You want to show goodwill and break a deadlock. What to do instead? Move on one point at a time. Multiple simultaneous concessions feel like capitulation, not generosity. They reset the other side's expectation of what you will give. The mistake. Giving a concession without attaching a condition. Why it happens. The pressure of the moment makes unconditional movement feel like the fastest way forward. What to do instead? Always use the if you can. I can structure before you move. A concession without a condition trains the other side to keep asking. Staying grounded during the pressure is a skill in itself. The core framework is built for exactly this kind of moment. The mistake. Abandoning the anchor too quickly after a strong counteroffer. Why it happens. A confident counteroffer can make your anchor feel unrealistic, even when it is not. What to do instead? Acknowledge their position without moving immediately. I hear that, and I want to understand your thinking on that figure buys you time without surrendering ground. When two people are locked in opposing positions, the deal method offers a structured way to break that stalemate. Your anchoring and concession checklist. Use this before every negotiation that involves a number, a rate, a scope, or a term. It takes less than 15 minutes, and will save you more than that in lost ground before you enter the conversation. Number 1. State your target outcome in one specific number or term. Number 2. State your walkaway point. Write it down. Number 3. Set your anchor at least 10 to 25% above your target or below, if you are the buyer. Number 4. Write 2 concrete reasons your opening position is fair. Number 5. Map your concession sequence 3 movements, each smaller than the last. Number 6. Attach a condition to each concession in advance, during the conversation. 7. State your rationale before or alongside your anchor. 8. After each concession, stop talking and wait. 9. Track how far you have moved and how close you are to your floor. 10. Use if you can, I can before every movement. 11. When you reach your limit, redirect to non-monetary terms rather than crossing the line after the conversation. 12. Note where the final agreement landed relative to your anchor and your target. 13. Identify which concession cost you the most and why. 14. Adjust your next anchor based on what you learned. When negotiations leave lasting damage to a working relationship, the repair process takes longer than the deal itself. The bridge method is worth understanding before you need it, not after. And if you want those negotiation habits to become second nature over time, the principle behind how small daily communication habits prevent tension from becoming chronic applies here too. Small, repeated practice builds the instincts that hold up under pressure. What holds when everything else is uncertain? The numbers in any negotiation will change. The pressure will vary. The other side will surprise you. What stays constant is the structure you brought into the room. Anchoring in negotiation is not about aggression or manipulation. It is about claiming space before someone else does. When you pair a well-set anchor with a planned concession sequence, you enter every negotiation knowing where you stand, where you're willing to go, and where you will stop. That clarity is what earns a result you can respect. Prepare the structure. Trust it when the pressure arrives. The outcome will take care of itself. Frequently asked questions. What is anchoring in negotiation? Anchoring in negotiation means placing the first significant number or position on the table, which then pulls the entire conversation toward it. Whichever side anchors first tends to shape what feels reasonable to both parties. The first offer has disproportionate influence on the final outcome. How do you set an anchor in a negotiation? You set an anchor by opening with a number that is ambitious, but defensible, then preparing a clear rationale for why it is fair. Do not open with your target price. Open higher than your target so you have room to make meaningful concessions without falling below your walkaway point. Why does anchoring in negotiation work? Anchoring works because the first number heard acts as a reference point that shapes all subsequent judgment. Even experienced negotiators are influenced by the opening figure. It is not about manipulation, it is about framing what a reasonable outcome looks like before the other side does it first. How many concessions should you plan before a negotiation? Plan at least 3 concessions before you enter any negotiation. Each should be smaller than the one before it, which signals that you are approaching your limit. Know your opening position, your target, and your walkaway number before you sit down. Improvising concessions in the moment almost always costs you. What is the difference between anchoring and making a first offer? Every anchor is a first offer, but not every first offer is a deliberate anchor. An anchor is a carefully chosen opening position, backed by a rationale, designed to pull the negotiation toward your target. A first offer made without preparation is simply a number, and it can work against you if set too low. Can anchoring in negotiation damage the relationship? A well-set anchor, delivered respectfully with a clear rationale, rarely damages a relationship. What damages relationships is anchoring aggressively without explanation, then refusing to move. Concession planning prevents this by ensuring you do move in a controlled, deliberate sequence that signals respect for the other person. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.